Thank you, choir, for that wonderful special. Had a nice beat to it, didn't it? And the lyrics as well. This morning, we're going to be looking at our Thanksgiving message. I gave a message last week, which was a little bit different than this one today. But Thanksgiving, we are to give thanks always and to the Lord. Paul will tell us that in our scriptures today. And as I was looking at this passage of scripture, you go through and look what the Bible tells us about giving thanks and thanksgiving and things like that, and all the way through the Old Testament. I mean, there's a lot of good scriptures in there about giving thanks for the good and hardship in times of suffering in life. And this was one of the things that Paul encountered himself. It didn't matter what Paul sustained in life, what he was going through, and he went through a lot in life, but he always said, give thanks for God. You know, I'm still here, I'm still plugging along, and I got the best person on my side to get me through all of this, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the scripture today. So if you will follow along with me, beginning with verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks. There it is. Paul says, of giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That's the key right there. Don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'd like to start this message with a little story. It's a little humorous. And it's about Thanksgiving. Since we're all know about, you know, kindergartens and first graders of the Good News Club, you never know what they're going to say. And in this particular little story, this kindergarten teacher was telling her kids all about the first Thanksgiving, how the pilgrims came over and how they came to a better life, a life of freedom, and religious. And she explaining about the way they prepared for their first Thanksgiving. She told them all about it. Well, one little girl went home, and she was telling this to her mother. And she said, Mother, you don't believe it, but, you know, the pilgrims came over from another country, and they come to a new world, and our teachers is telling them about their first Thanksgiving and all the preparation that they was doing. And her mother said, well, she said, how did they celebrate their first Thanksgiving? What did they eat? That really stunned the young little girl. She said, you know what? I really don't remember all the details, but you can ask my teacher because she was there. That is cute, isn't it? She was there. Well, when you go back in history, and I've been thinking about this all week. Back in 1620, when 102 pilgrims left England on two ships, and we never hear about the other ship, we only hear about the Mayflower, right? But there was the Speedwell also that had people on it, and there was two ships coming over. And they left England in the summer of August of 1620. Well, not too far out, the Speedwell took on water and had to turn around and go back. Well, actually, both of them turned around, Mayflower as well, and went back. Discouraged as some of the pilgrims were, the ones that owned Speedwell decided they wanted to continue their journey. So they got on the Mayflower, which was about, I think, 22, which made it a total of 102, plus the sea captain and the staff people was another 30. They traveled for 67 days. Now, when you calculate the distance between England and here, that's 3,500 miles. That's about what I figured to be about 10 weeks. Through tremendous storms and just difficulty of being on a ship for 67 days on the water. And then when they finally reached the bay, there, Massachusetts, Plymouth Rock there, they had no one to greet them. They had no stores to go get supplies. And they really didn't have no homes that they could go to and settle down. And they left all that behind them to seek a new world. And in November, when they arrived, it was really, really cold. And many of those were sick. And there was only six people out of those 102 that was able to help those that were sick. Through that winter to the next year, there was only 55 of those 102 that remained. The others died because of sickness. But they pressed on. And through that next year, they was able to plant and harvest and have a Thanksgiving in 1621. And you think about that. They didn't give up. Those 55 kept on moving forward to the new life of freedom of religion. That's what brought them here. They wanted freedom of religion. And you know, we have so much to be thankful for when we think about our freedom and the privileges that we have. And looking back on the hardships and the sufferings and the deaths and things that they had to get where we are today. So we have a lot to be thankful for, amen? Amen. We really, really do. And we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18, Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's Paul again saying, give thanks in everything. And see, the pilgrims endured great difficulty during their journey to America, during that first hard winter. And perhaps this has been a difficult year for a lot of us, for you. Yet the fact remains that we still have much for which we to be thankful, as Paul says, in everything, even in the midst of hardships. So this morning, I'm going to us to look at giving thanks in everything, and it can help during times of pain and difficulty. So, Paul said that we need to be thankful, so we need to abound in thankfulness. So in verse 15, as I read a few minutes ago, Paul said, all things are for your sakes. All things. And we think, well, all things? Well, it ends up being that way when you think about it. He was talking about his ministry efforts, how all trials and all persecutions that he endured was for the purpose of sharing the message of grace. And see, we live under God's grace. God provides us grace every day. And Paul preached that we cannot and do not earn forgiveness of sins, eternal life, by works. And that's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is freely given and freely received. So he gives it, and we must receive it. And grace was bestowed through God's Son. When the non-religious people, they heard this message of grace concerning the free salvation, it led them to joy, and they gave thanks for that. And we still give thanks today for the salvation that we get through Jesus Christ our Lord. And their public testimony and their praises of God's goodness resulted in the Lord's being glorified. And when we come together, that's what we do. We glorify God for his grace, for his goodness in our life. And looking on in verse 16, Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the difficulties that we encounter, as Paul talked about, the things that he encountered in life, he still counted it good because he had Jesus Christ in his life. And he knew that God would see him through it. He was saying that this is the effort of thanksgiving. It's a result of strengthening it and renewing of the spirit. And I was looking, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, but I was looking at the KJV, which says, for which cause we faint not. So whatever it is in our life, we still faint not. Just like Isaiah 40:31. You know, when we wait upon the Lord, we renew our strength. We mount up with wings like eagle. We run and we walk and do not faint. That's what this is saying here in this verse. So we faint not, we do not grow weary in our faith, but we persevere, as Paul would say, because of the great attitude. Believers would be able to withstand any hardships with their faith, endurance, without falling into despair. Now also in verse 15, Paul stated that our outward man is perishing. Now he knew he was. But hereby stressing one of the hardships that the believers faced at that time, that the pilgrims faced as they was coming over to the new world, they faced it. Paul endured imprisonment. He endured beatings, hunger, which all took toll on his physical body. Back in verse 8 and 9, I didn't read it, but he said, we are hard pressed on every side, not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That good good attitude Paul had? Why? Because he believed in God's grace, his goodness. He was thankful. And we can see Paul was thankful for the good things taking place in his life. Apart from the difficulties and hardships and the things he went through, even though there were things that led to his outward man perishing. But Paul says, give thanks in everything. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult to do that, but Paul was able to muster up under it and say, God, you've got me. And also in verse 16, Paul spoke of the inward man, the inward, the soul, the part where God takes control of our lives. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, we read about the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now that's Peter talking. And Peter endured as well. He went through persecution and hardships in his life as well. And he was able to say this. The inward man is a hidden man of the heart. Think about it. Made quiet and peaceful through our thanksgiving. A lot to be thankful for. And then when Paul stated that the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, the outward is different. It's temporal. But the inward man is eternal. And it's being renewed day by day. Why? Because we're being renewed in Christ Jesus. And he was emphasizing how even though the flesh may be wasting away through worry, pain, and trial, our spiritual being, our spiritual soul, is getting more and more healthier and growing as we serve the Lord and giving thanks. The inward man is what matters eternally. Now, going to verse 17, we read about our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And then when you think about Thanksgiving, see, this allows us to have the proper perspective. As I look back in the history and look at all the despair and the hardships and roller coasters of life, it gives us a proper perspective of now, how good we have it. To view the difficulties of life as bearable and not too heavy, so heavy as monetary things. So they are, in fact, only monetary when compared to the length and breadth of eternity. And that's what Paul was always looking towards. He was always thinking about eternal things. And yes, he was thinking about, well, the Lord's going to be coming back in my time. But he didn't, and he hadn't yet. So if our heart is full of thanksgiving, think about it, and we have the understanding that our burdens are light and momentary, then we might view our trials, as Apostle Paul says, which is but for a moment. Yeah, just for a moment. Meaning, encompassing God's goodness and power and love. See, that changes whole perspective of how God looks upon life itself and as we see it as well. Also notice in verse 17 that Paul contrasts light afflictions with the weight of glory. Light affliction, the weight of glory, the expansion of what eternity brings to us. And the term glory is the real object of hope, as Paul has again and again reminded us, is glory. The weight of it out of all proportions of the lightness of our afflictions. And think of it this way. If you were to place the affliction of this life on what I would say one side of a seesaw, and all of us have been on the seesaw before, you kind of have to shift according to the weight. Two people on a seesaw, and a glory on the other side of the seesaw on the lever, and then try to balance them on a pendulum, like, it doesn't matter how far you move the afflictions of this life along that plane, it will never balance out with the glory and the splendor of eternity. That's why glory is far greater. So something else that Thanksgiving does is it allows us to focus on what really matters, which is the things which are not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, you know, it's by faith we believe, not in the temporal, but those things that we haven't seen yet. And it's mentioned in verse 18 here as well. So the things which are seen, such as the trials, our tribulations of this life, which we hold each and every, are the things that will lead to discouragement and despair. But Paul, he reminds us that these things are only temporal. You know, the things that we encounter on a daily basis are temporal. They do. They are. Just as he said, our light afflictions in verse 17, he describes the things which are not seen as things which are eternal. And those are the things that Paul was looking forward to. They are the things in the mind's eyes through faith. Things of the next life in the place called glory. Verse 17. In Hebrews 11, again, I quoted it. But it reminds us, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of those things we haven't seen. And there's a story once asked of an old farmer. And I can relate to those, and you can too. Those were rough life growing up, but they were fun times, rememberable times. And some was sympathizing with the farmer about his daily work chores and all the muck and all the mud he had to walk through, you know, getting in boots muddy and getting all messy and everything, and asking him how he could go on day by day enduring such hardships of farming. And the farmer said, he that has something beyond need never weary. That's a good answer, isn't it? A good one. And the man who sees the light and keeps pressing into it also endures as seeing the invisible. So if we would only see the visible world the way God wants us to see it, we would never be discouraged. Never would. Now, looking back in verse 15, going back to the first verse that I read, the message of God's grace is the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. What brings us to where we are today in our life, in our spiritual life, which results in giving thanks, right? We should always give thanks. We have also seen how a grateful heart enables believers to withstand hardships and hold the right perspective on life itself. And that this present life, with all of the trials and troubles, is not of our real life. It is only temporary. And a thankful heart also helps us to see God's ability to work through our pain, and as Paul says, for His glory. Jesus has always given the Father glory, no matter what, and which in turn leads to even thanksgiving for us. See, you see, thanksgiving is gratifying. When we are thankful, we focus on what is good and right, and once we identify what is good and right, it leads to even more thanksgiving, which in turn leads to faith and spiritual gratitude. So all, in this scripture today, going back to what Paul says here, for all things are for your sakes, so that grace is spreading to more and more people, may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. That's the key verse right there, isn't it? For all of us. So God blesses us, and we have so much to be thankful for as Americans, as a nation, as a country, as a people of God. And when you think back, those pilgrims made that long journey, they were looking for something new that would bring them closer to their relationship with God, because they were not getting that where they were. But if they could start a new chapter in their lives, no matter, they knew the hardships and the sufferings were coming, but they were thinking of future generations as well, and we are that, right? 55 people out of 122 only survived that first winter, 1620. Here we are, 2025. Think about it. Come a long ways, haven't we? Got a long ways to go, but who's providing the grace for us to get where we're going? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the eternal benefit of knowing Him. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name. We are so blessed. We ought to be thankful. We are to be thankful for the salvation that You have provided through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We cannot thank You enough for that. There are a lot of people in this world that don't know You personally. But I thank You daily for being here in this place. In this place we call America, the United States, a unified nation in Christ. Not all saved. Don't ever know You. But we who do know You personally know we are blessed. And we are kind of like pilgrims going through this world on a journey, because this place is temporary. And sometimes, Lord, the ships spring a leak and we get on another ship. And the ship we're on now is bound for eternity. The ship that's leaking is the old world. And now we are a new creation, Lord. We know that we are renewed in you daily, as Paul says. Day by day, I'm renewed. If there's anyone listening live to our message and anyone here today doesn't know you personally, we can know you as their personal Savior. And Lord, anyone struggling can be renewed through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that, Lord, you see fit that you meet our needs. And thank you, Lord, that you never have ever give up on us. Therefore, we are to keep pressing forward to the eternal things that it lays ahead of us. Thank you for each one here today, Lord. And Lord, whatever the decisions are, Lord, you make it clear through the power of your Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.